Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take away a few things from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is a friend and fellow Acadiana agent, John Ray Perkins. John Ray is a former youth minister in the Catholic Church, father of four, and top producing realtor. Welcome to the podcast, John Ray.
Thanks, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
All right, brother. Well, tell us a little bit about your background, man, and how you ended up in the real estate career so we can get a little framework on you.
Ooh, how much time do we have? So I, as you said, I started off at 19 years old doing full-time ministry, specifically with youth in the Catholic Church. And I started at St. Peter's in Cairncrow and spent about half of my career there. And then 2012, I started at St. Pius or moved over to St. Pius. So two different churches, man, two generations almost, you know, 20 years. So almost two generations of young people and their families I had the opportunity to take care of. Got married in 2005. And today we have four kids, 16-year-old boy, a 14-year-old girl, a 9-year-old boy, and a 6-year-old girl. So boy, girl, we planned it. We planned it that way.
Perfect.
I like to tell people 2 + 2, you know, we got teenagers and toddlers.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm kind of right there with you almost too.
I told my 14-year-old daughter, I was like, hey, I pitched to mom, like we should start a podcast called Teenagers and Toddlers. And she was like, you need to do it. And I was like, baby, you realize that I'm going to air all of your grievances. So I'm going to tell my friends to listen, do it, dad, do it. My wife doesn't have my personality though, so we're not doing a podcast.
Yeah.
But so in 2015, we were adding on to our house. I'm real good friends with Wes Stoniker, another top agent in our market, and called him up and I was like, hey, look, we're pregnant for number three. We're living in 1,200 square feet. We don't have a whole lot of room, but we love our neighbors. So like, what do we do? Like there was a particular house we were interested in. And, you know, like if we were going to make a move. And so I called Wes up. He was probably the only agent that I like top of mind. Right.
Gotcha.
You know, and he was like, look, man, you know, kind of told him what I wanted to do with our house. And he said, I feel really good about that. Like, why don't you start exploring that? See if it works out. He said, this house that you're interested in, he said, it's a typical Lafayette house. Like if that one's not available, I can find you that house all day long. You know, he said, you can't. And I tell my clients this all the time, you can't buy your neighbors, right? So if you like your neighbors, see if you can add on to your house. And so we did that. And at the time I had some friends that ended up getting a license in real estate and they were sharing their, you know, experiences. And I was kind of fascinated by it. And I met with a buddy of mine who was dual careered. I don't even know if he's still in the business. But I had no desire to leave ministry, but I was intrigued. I mean, who's not intrigued by real estate, right?
Yeah.
I was fascinated by the fact that somebody could have a full-time job and still be able to sell real estate. And so I met with him and he was exhausted, right? Like most dual career agents that we know who are producing at a decent level. And I remember Wes called me up 3 or 4 weeks after I met with that guy. And he was like, hey, I heard you're thinking about this. And I was like, man, I think I want to predict my schedule. I think I'm going to just go into Catholic speaking and I'm going to, you know, do retreats and I'm going to do that kind of stuff and supplement my income that way. And because my wife was a Catholic school teacher. So like I work for a nonprofit. She's a teacher. We got three kids. There wasn't a whole lot of income there.
Gotcha.
So anyway, I did the Catholic speaking thing. And then fast forward to 2019. At that point, we got four kids. We had our fourth in 2017. There's oftentimes more month than money.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I went back to that idea of being dual careered. I really didn't have a desire to give up ministry full time. At that moment in my life, I didn't realize that real estate could be a ministry, like, cause I just didn't know what I didn't know.
Yeah. Nice.
And so I called Wes up again and said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this thing. And we met in his office for about 3 hours and, you know, being a faith-filled person, he said a couple of things that I took into reflection and, you know, just took into my meditation and my prayer. And one of those things was we often hear that real estate is about, you know, who you know and who trusts you. And I spent a lifetime building relationships with people and taking care of people and walking with people through good times and bad times and all of that in ministry, right? And Wes said, I want you to think about, you know, all of those people that you've done ministry with over the years. And he said, they're going to find out you're doing real estate and they're going to call you and they're going to, because they're going to have a need and you've helped them before. And he said, I want you to think about the people that maybe are going through a hard time. And now like you're reactivated in their life in this new role. And now you get to walk with them again. And Jamie, like, have you ever felt like a counselor in real estate?
Oh, every day of the week.
Right. And so that was the thing that was really, you know, it spoke to my heart as a minister, right? And so many times, I mean, like, I tell people in the church world today that people open up to me in real estate in ways that they would have never opened up to me as John Ray, the youth minister, you know, because I'm approaching them in a new way, in a new role, but I still get to help them in the same way. And sometimes I don't just help them buy a house, but I help them in the particular leg in life that they're in because we become a sounding board for them and all the things that are going on. So, yeah. So I got into ministry, into real estate in 2019. My license went active in September. I think I double-sided my very first listing, closed it in December. So 3 months in, and then 3 months after that, COVID hit. And I literally thought, well, that was fun.
Yeah,
it's all over now, you know, and some interesting things happened that I didn't expect. The church world kind of shut down. So I had a responsibility at that particular moment to be there daily for about an hour to stream our services, you know, because everybody in the church world went virtual. And so every single day at 9 a.m., I was streaming out a service, but I was hopping on a mastermind right before that for about 30 minutes with a bunch of agents while we were figuring out what to do in this new era of real estate. And this was before interest rates dipped. And then, you know, fast forward today, Wes said it when we met that day, he was like, I think very quickly the church world will become like your side hustle. You know, if you choose to keep employment there and real estate will become your main thing. And I was like, there's no way. And today, 5+ years later, I still have a small role at the church, helping out with our live stream and some of our AV stuff, but full-time real estate, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I love how you've been able to incorporate what you do well from a spiritual aspect in your real estate career, because I can see how people would really respond to that.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I've worked with people that I don't know that have no faith, right? So I don't need to superimpose, and I've never needed to do that. You know, like even I minister to public school teenagers, right?
Yeah.
You had to meet people where they were, and it didn't matter. And so like, I don't take my faith and push it on you, right? But if there's an opportunity to witness, like I don't miss that moment. And if there's an opportunity to serve, more importantly, and just love you where you are, that's what I've learned in 20 years of ministry, that you just take people where they are and you love them right there.
Yeah. And you just provide a listening ear and support to them in that role. Like, is there any maybe specific instances through your couple of year career now that you've had where you really had somebody that was maybe in a really bad spot and like you felt like God was putting you there in that spot?
Yeah. So like right after my license went active, I was hosting an open house. Nobody came to, right? I don't know if you've ever experienced an open house that nobody came to.
All the time.
And so, so I utilized the opportunity to just call some people and check in and, you know, see how they were doing. And I end up on the phone with one of my old students. And he tells me that his brother, who was living out of state, is thinking about moving back to town. I think he had his house for sale at that time. And, so anyway, I called him up and he comes in town for a job interview. And as he's getting off the plane, he says, man, look. And he starts sharing with me about the relationship that he's in and all that's going on. He's like, man, can I just come by your office? You know, like I just need somebody to talk to. And he did. My office was still at the church at that moment and I couldn't afford a real estate office. And so he came in and I mean, he told me about the relationship that he was in and we walked through that whole scenario probably for 2 or 3 hours. And one of the things that he said right at the beginning was, man, you were the person that I used to come to all the time growing up. It took probably 4.5 years before he and I would ever do a real estate transaction. He moved back. He moved in with his mom. But that was the thing that stood out in my mind the most. But there's been so many countless situations.
Yeah. And what level do you kind of work it into the transaction? I guess they know from maybe your history of, you know, your faith and what you stand for, but is there ever any, I guess, moments where you particularly bring it up, or is it just kind of like,
if it comes up, it comes up. Yeah. Right. I mean, a lot of people, I'm sure like you, you know, we tend to do business with the people that already know us at the highest level. Right. And for me, that holds true. 20 years of ministry. Like when people in my world have a real estate need, they usually know that I'm selling real estate. And so they reach out. Yeah, and a lot of those people, I was their minister, I was their kid's minister, or, you know, and so the faith conversation just comes natural because we know who we are. You know, I remember I had the opportunity to help a stranger's kid who was thinking about moving, and I didn't know him, and faith never really came up until he wanted to go see a house that wasn't very far from Pius. And this was post COVID happening, but pre-multiple offers, right? So we went and saw this house. He called me up about it and said, hey, look, I want to go see it. When can we be? I said, I'm 5 minutes from there. I'm at St. Pius. And it was off of that East Bayou Parkway area.
Gotcha.
And so we went and saw the house. And I remember there, and that was the first like faith conversation that he and I had. And it was just that he said, what were you doing at St. Pius? You know, that was his question. And I said, I have an employment there. You know, I've been employed and a minister in the Catholic Church for 20 years. And he said, that's interesting. He said, well, I don't believe in God. And I said, okay. I mean, we're looking at buying a house. I don't need you to believe in God to do that, you know? And that's right. Kind of where we left that conversation off. We wrote an offer on that house. I hated the house. Like, I told him it was a terrible idea. I told him I thought he was going to invest a lot more money than he thought he was going to have to invest to fix this thing. He wasn't keen on Louisiana to begin with, so I didn't think he was going to be here very long. And anyway, we wrote an offer. We lost. It went into a multiple offer situation. We lost. And then I think that was in like March. I think it was like right after the world shut down. And then fast forward to like end of April, the agent calls me up and says, hey, contract's falling out. Where are your clients? Are they still interested? I was like, great question. Hadn't heard from them. So I call him up and he's not in the state anymore. And he's like, man, all the reasons that I was coming to Louisiana have changed and I don't really like Louisiana. And I just said, you know, hey, look, I know you told me you didn't believe in God. I believe that God protected you from putting a contract on that house because he knew your reasons were going to change. And there was a pause. And then we moved on with the conversation. We've talked several times since then, and we've never brought faith up again, you know, like, and so it kind of depends on who I'm interacting with as to whether or not it's even going to come up at all.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, I love that. And actually, that was a great way to work it in to a conversation because, you know, you want to be able to share, especially when you, and as a minister, have seen somebody in that state where they are obviously hurting.
Yeah, yeah.
And they obviously need a hug or an opportunity or, you know, just an encouraging message.
Yeah.
And I just love that, you know. And so it's a unique concept because I hear realtors use their faith in different ways. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I guess I've seen personally some realtors where, you know, they talk about their faith and then you see them out at the bar, absolutely drunk,
sure,
you know, and you question whether there's some authenticness
well,
to that.
And I mean, I think that that's true whether it's faith or not, right? I think we've all met real estate agents or other professions who aren't authentically who they are. And I think those of us who excel in whatever industry we're in, whether it's real estate or attorneys or whatever, or ministry, right? I think when we're authentically who we are, we attract people to us, right? And when there's some duplicity to us, we don't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love that. Because I mean, hey, I'm all for people having a faith, but it's kind of like I'm turned off whenever I see somebody that's just like proclaiming a faith when sure. I know that there's not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope when you see me at the bar with a drink, I won't be falling down drunk.
Look, and I know your heart, and I've known you for a long time.
I am Catholic,
right?
You
know? And this is not something I've seen John Ray do. But I've seen some other agents do that. But look, hey, by all means, do something. But
I remember. when I was first getting into this, I was actually warned by somebody in the church world about, you know, be careful how you bring your faith into your business because you're going to turn people off, you know? And I took note of that in the back of my head, right? It didn't really change who I am, you know? And then fast forward today, you know, and I'm at a point where I'm not going to proselytize you. I'm not trying to convert you. We're trying to do a transaction. I'm trying to help you buy or sell or invest in real, you know, whatever we're doing, right? But I'm also at a point in my life where, like, if you would look me up on social media, you're probably going to see that, you know, a lot of my posts are faith oriented, faith, family, and real estate. That's pretty much what I post about, right? And so if that turns you off, then that's okay. You know, I'm sure that there's an agent out there that you would be comfortable working with if it's not me. But I have to be who I am.
Yeah, I like that. Be authentically you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't be Jamie.
Correct.
And, you know.
As cool as Jamie is.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think I'm awesome, but you know, there's only one Jamie Knight. So tell us a little bit more about how you talked about earlier, like doing life together. Like, in what ways are you kind of doing life with your clients? How are you reaching out to them? Is it phone calls? Is it emails? Is it postcards? Like, what is your strategy to reach your people and grow your business that way? Let's talk about that.
It's funny you would bring that up. I got a text yesterday, I think, from one of my buddies from church who is also a client, and he was like, man, I totally appreciate the birthday card, but I didn't need three of them. So I use a card service, you know, to send out birthday cards, and apparently it glitched or we put it in wrong or whatever. And so I just laughed and texted them back and said, man, I wanted you to make sure you felt extra, extra, extra. I made sure I used three. Three. <you know? laughs> I think all of those things, but it's just about, for me, it's about picking up where we left off. So if I call you, it's not, hey, Jamie, do you need to buy a house today? Or who do you know, right? It's, hey, Jamie, how are you and the wife and the kids? You know, it's about paying attention to who's in my world, like on social media, and what's going on in their life, and knowing when I need to reach out to somebody, and knowing when maybe there's a need. Or my coach tells me all the time, like, I probably don't lead gen, quote unquote. We're taught, you know, we need to call so many people a week and have, you know, I just show up and talk to people, you know, like I'm just in relationship with people, and we're in real estate and everybody loves real estate. So typically it comes up like, man, how's the market, or how's the business, or, you know, how's the real estate world? And that eventually leads into a conversation that will eventually lead into business as well. But for me, it's just making sure that I show up in your world and that you know that I still care about you. You know, I don't care if you buy a house or sell a house. I care about you. And if that relationship happens to lead into business, well, then great.
Yeah, for sure. Now, there's a ton of agents that run it that way. And they talk about kind of the ebb and flow of how they live their life in a certain rhythm, and that provides opportunity, and it's attractive. Mm-hmm. And it's a neat way to do business. It really is. And it's the best way, in my opinion, to do business, is that referral network, really loving on, living life with, caring for your clients. Like, those are that's the best way to do business. And if you can get into that groove and in that mode of life and just living with that rhythm, like, I think that's in itself is so attractive. And it's hard to explain to a new realtor that, hey, that's what you need to do to lead generate, is just love on people, using social media backwards to see maybe a thing that happened in somebody's life, like a death in the family or a new birth or somebody graduating or somebody getting, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's your opportunity to step back in and continue the conversation, like you had said earlier, with them, and pick up where you left off with them.
In the ministry world, we called it relational ministry. You know, it wasn't about you coming to a thing that we were doing, whether it was an event or a retreat or, you know, whatever. It was about me just doing life with you. Like, I'm going to show up in your world and find out what's going on and figure out how I can walk with you in life. And I've pulled that over into the business world. You know, like, I've chosen to stay in relationship with people, not because of what they can do for me, but how can I serve them?
Yeah, I love that. And you're still a vessel for your faith by showing up in that same way, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the cool thing, is you're not inauthentic. You are authentic to your faith, and you're authentic to yourself, and it's attractive to people. So I love that you're kind of operating in this way that you're operating, and it's awesome. And
it's the only thing I know.
Yeah. And look, we've worked several deals together, and mm-hmm. they've always been awesome.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, even the house that you're in now, I think we worked that deal together. You had told me the Hub City Ford story. Mm-hmm. I want you to kind of tell. So let me set it up for you. So basically, we have a local dealership here in Lafayette called Hub City Ford. And John Ray and I were visiting before, and he had told me the story about how that dealership came to be. So I want you to tell that story real quick.
I started up a podcast a couple of years ago and dropped a few episodes. And as you know, you got to stay consistent with a podcast in order for it to really go anywhere. And unfortunately, I didn't. Maybe we'll relaunch it one day, but I interviewed one of the owners. It's a family that owns Hub City Ford, and his grandfather or great grandfather, who I don't remember. We'll call him. We'll just for the story, we'll say it's his great grandfather. Went down to like Puerto Rico or Costa Rica or one of the islands to teach them how to do sugarcane farming, because that's a big staple here in South Louisiana, and it didn't work out. And he was, you know, he packed up his stuff and got back on a ship and headed back to the States, and he was coming up through the port of New Orleans, and he noticed a smokestack, and he needed work. So he went to the, you know, he followed the smokestack, and it happened to be the Ford manufacturing plant in New Orleans. And he was hired as the maintenance guy. He did whatever he did, you know, for like 50 years, sweeping floors and taking care of the place. And after, you know, his tenureship there, they awarded him the franchise here in Lafayette. And that's where Hub City Ford was born. And so I thought that that was one of the neatest stories. It's, you know, it's interesting how sometimes things just fall in our lap when we work hard.
Yeah. And showing up, you know, part of that story, what I liked, and that's why I asked you to tell it again, because it's totally relevant to what we're talking about right now.
100%.
It's showing up every day for our clients, but not just showing up inauthentically. Like, that guy showed up every day sweeping shop floors and taking care of the small, intricate things of that business.
Yep.
You know, he showed up to work every day, worked hard probably. And then at the end of the day, they awarded him something amazing, mm-hmm. which was, to me, one of the best dealerships.
Yeah,
generational wealth.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and you know, all the kids are in it. I know several of the guys that are in that business, and they're awesome. You know, so that's an amazing story about having a generational impact on people through our service of clients in the real estate space.
100%.
So I'm just loving this whole kind of where we're going with this podcast, because it's so awesome to kind of be operating in this space and to be in the same room of two people with faith that use faith in different ways, but also, you know, that we believe that there's a reason why we connect or we're in the same room together.
Yeah.
And I hope that people who are listening to this thing, you know, will connect with you if they're hearing something that they really dig, and we'll put some of your information in the details of the podcast, because I'm sure you'd be open to encouraging an agent who's down and out right now.
Oh yeah.
Who needs little of encouragement.
Absolutely. I tell our agents at my brokerage, like, my door's always open, and I wish I wouldn't say that sometimes because I need to get work done. But I mean, absolutely. I would love to chat with somebody if they just wanted to kind of mastermind together or walk through life together. I would be happy to do that.
Yeah. And you and I are both mentors of agents in our network and stuff like that. And we're at different brokerages, but we're still doing the same thing. And that's trying to not only love on clients, but love on other agents and encourage them through.
Yeah. One of the coolest things for me and, you know, moving from a ministerial world to to a business world has been just the, you know, in the church world, when you're employed by it, maybe not necessarily as somebody that goes to a particular church, but when you're employed by it, it becomes very competitive, right? Like, one church wants more people than the other church, and I don't want my people to go to, like, you know, all of this stuff. And we in real estate work in a very competitive industry, but my aha in real estate, I know it was early on, was I was doing a thing that, I don't know if you've ever done this before. I was on a deal and trying to figure out something that I'd never done before, right? I feel like I do that every day, right?
Right.
And there was an agent who was one of the top agents at our office, and I was like a nobody. Like, I don't know that I'd closed the deal yet. And I stopped this person. And I was like, hey, like, nobody else was there. I need some help. And at the end of that conversation, what I realized was this agent had just opened up their playbook to me. You know, and our businesses literally competed against each other, and they were helping me win. And that is the one thing about real estate, you know, so when we're, you know, loving on people and serving people and agents, that I love is like so many agents are willing to open up and say, hey, this is how I would do that. And I want to help you win. Cause I know that if you win, we all win.
Yeah, absolutely. So on that same note, let's talk about an agent who may be down and out right now, may have had a tough 2024 and looking to have a good 2025. What are you telling them as far as an encouragement about growing their business in 2025? Or maybe they've had some struggles, and what are you telling them?
Man, just show up. Show up every day and love on your people. You know, we all have a cell phone. Whether you have a database or a CRM, or you have a cell phone of people, just show up and love on those people, you know, and be authentic about it. Show that you care about them, take care of them, whether they have a real estate need or not. And that's going to pay dividends in your world. You know, we have an agent in our market who constantly says it. If we take care of people, they're going to take care of us, you know. And you mentioned my injury, you know, so I had the opportunity to take care of people in 20 years. And then I get into real estate, and a lot of those people financially have taken care of me by allowing me to serve them in their real estate needs. And then in August, I broke my leg, and I was like incapacitated for 2 or 3 months. In fact, I found out yesterday that next week's my last week of physical therapy. So
nice. I'm
finally getting 9 hours of my week back. Right. But I was blown away. Like, they started a meal train, and people, we have the 4 kids. And so my wife was then having to, you know, hold the house together. And you take care of people and they take care of you. Just totally blown away about how big my world showed up at our moment of need.
Yeah, that's huge. And I mean, I remember getting that too. I think I texted you, called you, mm-hmm. you know,
yep.
How you doing? You know, what's going on? And different brokerages, you know, like, oh, yeah. We share the same thing, right? We're in different.
I had agents bring in food to my house that I'd never met before.
I love that.
Like it was amazing. So that encouragement to that agent who's just feeling down and out, like, one, find an agent that's doing a lot of deals. And if you don't know one, call Jamie and I, yeah. Right? Because I think when we surround ourselves with people who have a positive mindset and who are finding wins in the market that we're in, that just allows us to get out of our heads and start doing what we're supposed to be doing, which is loving the people in our world.
Yeah. And it's tough because it's like they're focused on like now business, yeah. Right? They're like, oh my gosh, I got to do a deal.
I got to pay a bill.
You know? Yeah. So, and it's tough in that point because you're coming from maybe the opposite of abundance is what we're talking about here. Yeah. We are at the ultimate talking about abundance of life and living that life of taking care of people and living in that abundance mindset. But, you know, sometimes there's that desperation mindset, and then that comes in and that changes the conversation kind of even not even subconsciously. Right. But they feel that you're not there in genuinely to help them.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of the opposite of what you're doing, which is like, you're here to just help them. I don't care if you buy or sell with me or not.
Yeah.
I'm here to love on you, take care of you.
It's who I am. It's what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love that, but we're getting pretty close on time. So I'll have you maybe give one more last little word of encouragement or prayer that you have to, you know, realtors, and we'll go ahead and close it out with that.
We get to work in the greatest industry, I think, on earth. You were talking about an agent just a minute ago before we started, about an agent who's making all this money, not in real estate anymore, right? And I think what we get to do is great because we get to love people, we get to serve people, and there's huge opportunities for us, and not just in the industry that maybe we start in. Maybe real estate is where some of your listeners have started, right? But there's so many opportunities. So if you're feeling discouraged right now, know that you get to do a job that people would only dream about doing. So keep pushing, keep pressing, love the people in your world. They'll love you, and look for the opportunities because they're there and they're life changing and they're generational changing. Kind of like the Hub City Ford story, you know, like what we get to do. I couldn't imagine my life. If you would have told me where we would be today, 5.5 years ago when I started, my wife not employed anymore, staying home, taking care of our house. And we have 6 rental properties. Some of them were co-owned with some friends. I'd have looked at you like you were crazy, you know, because I couldn't imagine that. Right. And so press on, press in, do the work, show up, love your people, and the opportunities are going to present themselves.
I love that. Well, brother, I appreciate you hanging out with me. I'm super encouraged by your story and getting to hang out. And it's just awesome what you're doing. And I am just in awe of what you're doing. And I'm just seeing it. And I'm encouraged both from, you know, an agent aspect, but also from a spiritual aspect, from what you're doing, man, is with your faith and how you're weaving that together in a beautiful tapestry of work. So, man, again, if you guys are digging what John Ray's putting down, we're going to put some of his information in the podcast, and I'm sure he'd love for you guys to connect with him. And I hope that you would share this episode with a friend that may be hurting right now, that may need a little bit of encouragement, and that you'd kind of keep on following the podcast. Give us a great review. Give us a 5-star review. Share with a friend. Tag somebody that may be interested in it. So again, John Ray, thank you, my brother.
Thank you, man.
All right, guys. Well, I hope that you guys have an amazing day.